Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Great show for you today. Really looking forward to what we're going to talk about. Hopefully, you get some guest callers on this show. We're going to kick things off really quickly. I only got 30 minutes, and I know that I'm going to have a lot to talk about today. So let's just begin very, very quickly talking about tonight's football game between the Texans and the Bengals, which nobody wants to see at all, considering both teams looked absolutely terrible on Sunday. The Texans have decided, first of all, to start Deshaun Watson over quarterback Tom Savage, who was benched at the 31 snap on Sunday. Savage went 7 for 13, 12 of the 13 balls touched the receiver's hands. Yada, yada, yada. These were quotes from his agent. His agent said, quote, "I'm still trying to figure this out. Dot, 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 31 plays and you're getting benched. It makes no sense." Savage just didn't look good. You know, Savage, 7 of 13, 62 yards, sacked 6 times. Watson, 12 of 23 for 102 yards, a touchdown and a pick. I don't disagree with this at all. I think that Watson is rightfully starting. I think he's a more talented quarterback. I think the city of Houston kind of owes their city a victory. You know, I was very, very surprised that they didn't come out and sort of rally behind you know the efforts that were made.
I was really upset that the Houston fan base did not rally behind the efforts made by J.J. Watt towards Hurricane Harvey. I really thought it would be like, you know, how the Boston Red Sox rallied to win the World Series that year when the Boston bombing occurred. For all intended purposes, and the same thing when the Yankees, you know, 9/11, they rallied to make the World Series. They lost the Diamondbacks that year, but, you know, I mean, I really thought that this tragedy would really, and again, the Saints, the year of Katrina, they won it all. So I really thought we would see some kind of big rally here from Texans, and they didn't, and they got crushed. But anyway, so Watson is starting tonight. Linebacker Brian Cushing of the Texans spent it for the second time in his career due to PEDs. Texans defense will be missing a big linebacker there. And John Ross will actually be starting tonight. He sat out with a sprained ankle again in his last game against the Ravens. Ross, obviously, as you may not know, Ross is the guy that ran the fastest 40 time in NFL history, beating out Chris Johnson's record. I think he ran a 4.2, and he's extremely fast. I definitely see him having some sort of an impact in this game. I have this weird feeling that either him or Tyler Boyd is going to score a touchdown for some reason. I think it's going to be a long, either like a jet sweep or a slant that goes for a touchdown. I feel like either him or Tyler Boyd, whoever's in the slot, I'm looking at the slot receiver for the Bengals having an impact on this game. Moving on, I want to briefly touch on the Canelo Triple G fight because I'm really, really looking forward to that. It's going to be a great fight. It's a super fight. And I have made my prediction. I'm going with Canelo Alvarez, and I think he's going to knock out Triple G. And I'm saying that emphatically. I really do. You know, a lot of people have been saying that Triple G just isn't in the proper shape that he should be at Big Bear. And, Canelo, he's only lost one fight in his career. It was to Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Money Mayweather, the best fighter to ever live. I'll say it now. Maybe not best fighter to ever live. I would say best boxer to ever live, in my opinion. You know, beating Conor McGregor, you know, I have a lot of respect for him because of that, because I love Conor. And I'm ready to label Floyd as the GOAT, in my opinion. You know, I never saw a Muhammad Ali fight. So, for me, my GOAT is Floyd Mayweather, just like my GOAT for basketball is like Kobe Bryant. You know, I never saw Michael play. You know, not really, anyway. I want to get into the other stuff. Just to give you guys a quick rundown, if we flash back a year ago today, I was actually on the Cave Show. Paul was hosting it, and PLR was hosting it, and we were talking at the time. We were talking about CM Punk, and we were talking about Colin Kaepernick, this was right when the protests started happening, and you were talking about that stuff. It's just crazy to see that a year later, you know, thankfully CM Punk's not around to talk about, but it's just crazy to think that a year later this stuff's going on. That, I mean, if you would have told me a year ago that Colin Kaepernick wouldn't be on an NFL roster, I would have been like, you got to be, there's no way. It just doesn't make any sense to me still. You know, it's so obvious that he's better than so many people out there, you know, for quarterbacks, and he definitely should be on an NFL team. Probably starting, you know, he should be starting on the Jets. He should be, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's just crazy, again, just to know that a year later, pretty much we're still talking about the same thing. I don't think we really had that where, like, you know, it's just a year later, I mean, things die down, you know. The society today is just like, you know, they shift very quickly from one thing to another. They don't really stick with something. To see that this has stuck with, excuse me, it's just mind-boggling. So I want to really talk about the ASU football. It's something that I haven't really talked about with people. You don't really hear me talk about it. If you go to school with me, I'm never really talking about ASU football. Usually, if you see me around the campus, I'm usually trashing the football team. And don't get me wrong, I want to say this on the record today. I love ASU football. Okay, I love the program. But I absolutely can't stand Todd Graham. And even more so, I detest Manny Wilkins. Like, I honestly do. Not as a person, as a football player. And the same thing with Todd Graham. Not as a person, as a football coach. Because I am a, whether you want to call me a student, whether you want to call me a fan, whether you want to call me a reporter, I see what I see. It's a disaster, okay? It's a disaster. So let's just go over the facts here for this Todd Graham situation, because there's a lot at play here, and I'm hoping that someone calls in to talk about this, because it's a huge issue. Okay, so Todd Graham, first of all, he's the head coach of ASU. You've been living under a rock. That's who he is, and he is on the hot seat. Todd Graham came into this year under scrutiny from the president of the university, under scrutiny, I wouldn't say scrutiny. He basically was issued a warning by the president of the university and the athletic director that they won't accept a losing. They won't really. They want a bowl appearance. More specifically, they want a bowl victory, but they want a bowl appearance. And after two games, I mean, let's rewind. Going back before the first game of the season, expectations were that ASU would probably win around enough games, you know, probably like 6-7 games, and be able to make a bowl game. That was the expectation. Now two games into the season, one of which where they almost lost to, I think it was New Mexico State, and then now, you know, losing to San Diego State. The hot seat is scorching right now. We've got a caller on the line. Who do we have?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
How you doing? My name's Ronnie.
Who do we got? Ronnie.
Hello? Ronnie,
yeah,
can you hear me?
Did you say your name was Ronnie?
Yeah, my name's Ronnie.
Okay. Hey, what's going on, Ronnie? Where are you from?
Good, good. I'm from Los Angeles.
You're from L.A. Okay. So we're talking about ASU football now. Do you have a question, or do you have your own comments on the situation down here?
I wanted to call because those are the Scum Devils. Isn't that right?
The Scum Devils? I've never heard that expression before. But I'll tell you right now, I'm about to start bashing the team.
The ASU Scum Devils, right?
Yeah, it's the Sun Devils. Yeah.
But we call them here the Scum Devils.
Oh, the Scum Devils. Why is that? I mean, we're not if you're you must be a USC fan.
Oh, we're a big USC fan here. I'm from LA, so everyone here is either USC or UCLA.
Okay. Well, hey, you know what?
our beef is not with you. We're more worried about our own team than we are worried about you guys. I'm gonna go ahead and just kind of just go on and talk about this coaching situation, because it's not our coach. It's ASU's head football coach, Todd Graham. The issue right now is there's so many. I'm just gonna start at the top with Todd Graham, and he is a looks like our caller just dropped. And okay, so it's Todd Graham. If we were to fire him today, let's just say, which I do advocate, by the way, I think we should have fired him a long time ago. But be that as it may, if we were to fire Todd Graham today, we would still owe the man $10.5 million. The issue with this is very big. That's $10.5 million. Now we're trying to renovate our stadium to bring people in. And it's basically the thing is that we'll have a half-empty stadium if we fire Todd Graham and have to buy him out. So yes, there is a business side to this. As one of my professors was telling us the other day, I mean, people neglect to think about that business side. But at the same time, who are we going to get? Sorry, who are they going to get? Who are they going to get? You know, I asked my older brother is a sports agent. I asked him, and he said maybe Chip Kelly. He said maybe a big name like Chip Kelly, or maybe as Doug Hauer was saying earlier on his podcast. You know, maybe they're gonna go after a young up and comer. We don't know. I would much rather ASU go after a guy like Chip Kelly. I'd much rather than go after a guy like Wes Miles. To be more specific, I'd put Miles above Chip Kelly. You know, but it's just. It's a circus right now. Like it's an absolute circus with this team. Like it really is. So here's what everyone says about Todd Graham. The first thing I hear is that how good Todd Graham used to be. You know, Todd Graham got ASU to the Pac-12 championship game in 2013. But what happened that year? They went against Stanford. They got smacked. And by the way, that game. That was played at ASU, by the way, on ASU's home field. They lost. It was like 38 to like 10 or 15, 38 to 14. Point is that basically the Sun Devils haven't done jack. And we had a college football expert in the first year of the college football playoff. They were projected by one expert to make the playoff, and we didn't even get close. I mean, we've underperformed. Right? First 3 years, everyone says, oh, he won 28 games, but I'm trying to figure out who wrote this article. Michael Wilson, thank you, from PacificTakes.com, pointed a lot of this stuff out, and he's right. A lot of those kids that were on those teams for the first 3 years of Todd Graham were brought in by former coach Dennis Erickson. And Dennis Erickson recruited a lot better than Todd Graham could for whatever reason, whether they respect him more, whether the atmosphere was different back then. The point is Dennis Erickson was a much better recruit. There's a guy named Christian Kirk. He plays football right now at Texas A&M. He's going to be he's a terrific NFL draft prospect. But he's looking to be a top 10 pick right now. He played football at Saguaro, which is out in Scottsdale. And I covered Saguaro last year, and I'll get to that in a minute. But we should have gotten him, and he chose to go to Texas A&M. He didn't even chose to go to U of A. He chose to go all the way to College Station, Texas A&M. I mean, we have lost out on guys back and forth, back and forth. We have lost out left and right on one guy, another. We're not going to get another DJ Foster. The closest thing we've got DJ Foster – it's N'Keal Harry, and we barely even give him the ball. Now, I was telling my friend earlier, I was like, even if we had gotten Christian Kirk, who would have thrown him the ball? Mike Bercovici? Manny Wilkins? Like, are you kidding me? He would have been wide open. They would have thrown him the ball. They would have underthrown it or would have gotten intercepted. But, I mean, even if we had recruited those players, we still got terrible quarterbacks. And people can tell me all they want how Mike Bercovici is in the NFL, even though we shouldn't be, because Colin Kaepernick is sitting on a bench somewhere or on a couch somewhere, and he's not even on an NFL roster. So you're not going to tell me that Bertuzzi and Wilkins are better than freaking Colin Kaepernick. Now, I'm sorry to break this to you, but Bertuzzi is better than Wilkins. But that's beyond the point. We have another caller. Who do we got?
Hey, it's Chris Roth. What's going on, big guy?
What's going on, man? I'm just going to finish talking about ASU here, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the Dodgers and the Indians and the Astros and some MLB teams. But what I was saying was that ASU is a serious problem. It starts with Todd Graham. I want you to listen to some of the teams that we have almost lost to. Cal Poly, we almost lost to. San Diego State, we did lose to. UTSA, New Mexico State, we almost lost to. I mean, U of A crushed us. We should have blown out all these teams. I remember a couple years ago, what's his name again? Sorry, Michael Wilson was by the way, this article is on PacificTakes.com, and I'm sorry, Michael, I'm just taking some of this from you. But I mean, all of this is true. We played Oregon State a couple years ago, and we were number six in the country. I do remember this. Oregon State wasn't even supposed to come close to winning that game, and we lost. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, the thing that I wonder and that I worry about is that, to be honest, I worry that if somehow Todd Graham beats Stanford, Washington, or USC, that he will not get fired just because he won one of those games and pulled off a miracle. And then we'll be dealing with the Saints. People will be saying, oh, he's this genius coach, and, you know, look how good he is. Everyone was wrong talking about how – no, I'm sorry. But, like, even if he does win one of those games, and we still don't qualify for a bowl, I still think he should be fired. And he's going to be fired at the end of this year because, you know, we're not going to win those games. We're probably not going to win a bowl game or even get to a bowl from what I've seen so far. It's a mess. It starts with the recruiting. It starts with Todd Graham. It starts with Manny Wilkins. There's a lot of changes that need to be made. Our pass defense is absolutely atrocious. We have no one. We have no depth. They were playing with 11 players in the first game of the season, not even using any substitutes. We've got a player like K.J. Jarrell, who we redshirted. He's like the next Cam Chancellor. He's got great thighs for his safety, and they're just having him on the bench complaining about their pass defense when they got a physical specimen just sitting on the bench. It's just ridiculous. Like, I'm sorry, but Todd Graham needs to be fired. Point blank, period. All right, we've got another caller. I've got two callers on the line. Who is the second caller? Who do we got?
Yes, sir. My name is
Chris.
Michael.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I got Chris, and who else do I got here?
Michael.
Michael. From where?
Minnesota.
Michael from Minnesota. Okay. We're about to start talking about Dodgers and baseball. Do you have any questions about the present state of the baseball landscape right now, Michael?
Actually, I was hoping to talk about the whole Kaepernick nonsense that's going on.
Oh yeah, you know what? Just missed it there. I'm just trying to be able to touch on everything, but if you call back next week, we'll certainly be able to get you on the line, man.
All right, cool. No problem. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, Chris, you still there?
I'm still here. To piggyback what you were just saying, the whole thing about ASU is the lack of stability from the transfer of players to the transfer of coaches to the fact that he's jumped jobs so many times. He can get you to 6 or 7 wins, but he's not going to take you any further than that. And that's the end of the story on that.
I agree. 100%. And also, one last note on that. As Doug Howard was saying on this podcast, ASU was on their third offensive coordinator in 3 years, and this is they have had 10 different assistant coaches over the last 2 years. Not having that stability, as Doug Howard was saying, it does affect the development of these players. It affects the recruiting, where they build relationship to these coaches, and then they're heading out the door in the blink of an eye. It's just,
and he's not trusted locally either. He's not trusted by the local coaches.
It's a mess. It is a mess from top to bottom. But let's get to baseball. Now, I'm going to make some blanket statements here. And first of all, there's a lot of storylines going on. One of them is obviously the Indians. God knows how they're doing it. The point is that they've won 21 in a row. Okay, you got the Dodgers who had lost like 16 or 17 or 12 games in a row. Point is, Dodgers finally won a game. The Astros are still being forgotten by everybody, which pisses me off.
They have no pitching.
And then there's the Cubs, which are also being forgotten. Now, let me tell you something, okay? I want to give you these stats, and Chris, you can interpret them. But, okay, so we know the Indians had their streak. They trailed, what, 4 innings over 21 games, okay? Here's the thing about the Dodgers. I'm going to pivot right now from the Indians to the Dodgers because everyone's making a big deal about the Dodgers and all this other stuff. But I'm going to go back quickly to the Indians because I want to say one more note about the Indians. That I know they're two different sports, but the 07-08, the 2007 Rockets, the T-Mac, they won 22 games in a row.
Right.
And they lost in the first round of the playoffs. Now, I know it's a different
Correct.
Sport, and they didn't have Yao Ming, which Michael Wilbon failed to mention in his on his show yesterday on PTI, but that didn't happen. Now, as far as the Dodgers, the 05 White Sox, Chris, they had a 15-game lead on August 1st in 2005, and with 10 games left, that lead was cut down to a game and a half. They won the World Series. The 2000 Yankees, they lost their last 7 games and lost the first game against the A's, and they won the World Series. Both of those, thank you to Frank Isola from PTI, for pointing that out. So I'll give you those stats. Tell me what you think about this Dodgers team. Can they turn it around, Chris? And also, are the Indians for real? Can they keep this up? What do you think?
I think the Dodgers, you know, they had a great run, but a lot of their players like Chris Taylor and a couple of other their guys, Court Bellinger, they hit a wall in, you know, going into September. They're not used to playing 162 games. They're not used to a pennant race. Yeah, Dave Roberts might have backed off a little bit, but the Diamondbacks showed us that they can play with them. And the Diamondbacks, if they played them in the first round, have a very, very good chance of knocking them out in the first round. Their pitching is thin after Kershaw, who's been injured. Darvish has been not very good with them so far. I think they've hit a wall, and they may recover in these last couple of weeks and get on a little bit of a roll, but I don't see them honestly being a factor in the playoffs.
Really? Well,
and
you know,
as far
as I mean, they do have time.
Yeah, they do have time to get it back on track, but at the same time, while they were slumping, all these other teams were getting hot. So
yeah, it's true.
The Diamondbacks are the team that I fear the most. And as far as the Indians go, the Indians are hell-bent on revenge. The Indians are a good ball club. They ran out of pitching in the World Series last year, and they have Tito Francona, who's a master in the World Series and in the postseason. So that's the team that I fear the most, mm-hmm. is the Indians and the Diamondbacks, those two teams.
Yeah, you know what? I like that. You know, I talked to someone a few weeks ago before this whole streak even started, and he was telling me he thinks it's going to be Indians Cubs again. The Indians are going to be like, you know, exactly what the Royals did. You know, the Royals lost the World Series, came back next year and won it. So he thinks, you talk about teams getting hot at the end of the year, and that's what leads to playoff success. I mean, the Indians have won. I mean, 22 in a row. I mean, 21 in a row.
21.
I mean,
and they're playing a shitty. They're playing in a bad division. I mean, look at how many of those were division games. Tigers, Royals, White Sox. You know, the Indians do have to travel to Anaheim in the last week of the season or the last 2 weeks of the season. I think they play Houston again. So they're going to get tested again before the playoffs start. You also, like I said, you have to look. I mean, teams get fat on the division. The Cubs got fat on their division last year, you know. So,
yeah,
you know, and it's just the opposite with the Dodgers. The Dodgers are getting hurt by their own division. They just got swept by the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. They lost 11 games within their division. They were a 1-0 win away from losing 16 in a row. You don't just lose 16 in a row at any point not think something's wrong. You know, that's
right.
A lot of games. And that does something to you mentally. You know, like I said, a lot of these guys are worn down. The Dodgers don't have a lot of depth. I mean, Forsythe, you know, hasn't played this many games in the season. You know, Puig's put up average numbers. They had a lot of comeback wins in the season, but there's a lot of holes on that team.
Right, but
again,
that 05 White Sox team, like I was saying, 15-game lead on August 1st. 10 games left, was one game, they won the World Series. And the same thing with the Yankees, they lost their last 7.
and in the first game against the A's. Like, I mean, just because what I'm trying to say is that we've seen teams go on skids before the end of the season and still pull it together to win it all. Like, I mean, so I do feel like the Dodgers have enough in the tank to turn this around.
Each team in each situation is different. I think if you go back and look at all those teams and look who they played in the last month. I mean, maybe the Dodgers will prove us wrong. But certainly that's my opinion. I just think that, you know, they've hit a wall and I don't see them recovering. Plus they have a lot of postseason failure to sit on too, you know?
Yeah. And well, okay. So how many games do you think the streak goes to? I think they're going to lose tonight.
Wait, what was the question? I'm sorry.
How many more games
the streak,
do you think this team
can
win?
When it gets to a streak, usually beyond 10 in baseball, usually it can end any day, you know, depending on who they play tomorrow. But, you know, it could end any day. And if I was a betting man, I'd bet it end today.
Yeah.
So
what do you think the secret sauce has been? I mean, is it that obvious that it's just been, you know, luck and a little bit of magic and skill? Or what have you been seeing?
What, with the Indians?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Indians, it's been great starting pitching. It's been, I mean, they're getting not much from Jason Kipnis. They're probably going to have to move him to center field. Jose Ramirez has had a great year. They were 13 over 500 before the streak started. They were 69, I think, and 56 when it started. And so now they're almost 34 games over 500. So, and it's all about starting pitching. Last year, they didn't have all that starting pitching. Plus, Salazar was out during the playoffs. You know, they had to rely on Bauer, who's someone I don't trust. Kluber's going to be Kluber. Andrew Miller's even been out during this whole stretch, and has still done well.
Okay, and what about Houston? Because I feel like, again, I really feel like everyone has forgotten about Houston and how good
Houston's starting pitching is in trouble. McHugh went out with an injury last night. Verlander's going to be Verlander. I mean, obviously he hasn't done a whole lot in the playoffs lately. Keuchel's been up and down. So I just don't think they have enough starting pitching. And they don't have postseason experience. Well, they don't have a lot of postseason experience other than maybe Beltran and McCann on their roster.
Yeah.
And, AJ, I'm not a big AJ
fan. So your
pick. Either. So I think the manager has a lot to do with the playoffs.
So your World Series pick is?
My World Series pick would be, I'm going to say Indians and Cubs. Because the Cubs are fine-tuning themselves, so they're pacing themselves. They, even though the division leads down to two, they know what they have to do to get it done. They basically run out two different teams on the field every day. The only thing that's going to hold the Cubs back is if Madden falls in love with Kyle Schwarber in the playoffs and he doesn't hit, which he's been glued to the bench the last couple of days. So the Cubs hitting streaks, it just, like I said, depends who Madden's going to go with in his leadoff spot. He's got a lot of options. You know, Brian Rizzo going to carry him down the stretch. And their bullpen's got to, you know, got to do it. But I think the Cubs have the postseason experience to get past the Nationals, to get past the Diamondbacks will be a tough out, but I think the Cubs have the experience to do it. So I think it'd be Cubs-Indians.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I honestly do believe it's going to be a rematch. That's crazy as that is to say. Chris, thank you very much for calling in. Hopefully we see you, have you next week.
All right, man. Take care of yourself. Great show, Ryan.
I am a mountain. All right, so that's the lowdown. Sorry if I was a little harsh on ASU. It is what it is at this point with ASU. You know, it is what it is, and you've come to expect mediocrity from the team, and a change needs to be made. We need soon. I mean, myself, as well as the ASU fan base, we're very, like Doug Howard says, we're very reactionary. But I've seen enough from Todd Graham. Go. I don't think he's a great coach. I'm just going to keep saying it. Yes, he see me in person. I'll grill him. It's very trash setting and wanting to see this team in a state that it is and has been and looks to be in the near future. Guys,
thank you very much for listening. Hit me up on Twitter at Ryan Zor. Hopefully I'll be back next week. I'm not too busy with school. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm a lion.
Bye-bye.
Down in the jungle, I am.